Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, which is brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante. I'm joined by Bob Flounders and Andy Shea. Ross Tucker will be along shortly to handle Tucker's tape and ask Ross. First off, guys, I'll start with you, Andy. How are you holding up?
Lockdown. Holding up good. Staying inside. We have a quarantine daughter of ours who returned from Thailand. So we are on day 10 and 11. So we're getting there. 10 or 11. I can't remember which one, but they all look the same, but we're locked down, but it's good to talk to you guys. Good to be with you. And it's good to talk a little bit of football.
It is. And Bob, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I'm actually relieved to hear that Andy's daughter is back. I knew that she was due to arrive either late March or early April. And I'm sure that's hopefully taken some of the stress out of his life, understandable stress, but it's good to hear that she's back. I'm sure Andy's a lot happier. So all I know, Jim, is a happy Andy Shea makes for a very, very, very outstanding edition of this podcast.
And there we go.
And it makes for a happy Keystone Sports Network. It's great to have you back, Andy. All right, let's take a look at our schedule for today. But before we do that, I just want to say real quick, I'd like to thank several of our listeners who have reached out to thank us for continuing to produce our show during these lockdown times. I think it's just they need something to do, and we're filling that void. So thank you for all of you who have reached out. All right, today's schedule looks like this. Quarter number one with Andy and Bob, we're going to take a look at the news and notes of the day. Quarter two, it's going to be Ross's Tucker's tape, his review of the 2020 class. A really good group this week. You want to make sure to stick for that. Quarter number three, you take over the show as we do our Ask Ross segment. Quarter number four, we'll have Andy and Bob back in. And an interesting new series. Last week, we finished up Bob's Top 25. This week, we're going to start a series. We're going to look at those forgotten guys, those guys who were redshirted last year. And they always seem to be quickly forgotten. And everyone starts looking at the shiny new toy. Who are the incoming freshmen? But there were some really great redshirt freshmen. And we're going to start that series today in quarter number four. But first, let's get to the news of the day. First off, just real quick, the NCAA has extended the dead period through May 31st for recruiting. What that means is coaches can't go visit the players. Players can't come on campus. It's what you would expect. Coaches could reach out via video conferencing, texting, calling. So it's going to stay in place the way it's been the last couple weeks. A couple other things happened. We got a chance to hear from a couple of the coaches this week. And Bob, you were there. The most recent one, press conference over Zoom video, was with Tyler Bowen. And that was on Wednesday morning. What kind of takeaways did you get from that press conference from Tyler?
Tyler's always good to talk to. I think Tyler, first of all, I think Tyler is going to be a much better. He's a good coach already and a good recruiter, tight ends coach. But I really think that Tyler is going to benefit from that experience he had in the Cotton Bowl and the weeks leading up to it. He was the OC, and you saw that Penn State's offense really didn't miss a beat against Memphis. I think he's a sharp guy. I think, you know, for that offense to perform the way that it did in that game speaks well of what he's able to do and how he's able to relate to players and how he's able to teach. And I'm sure that's going to carry forward as he looks to build upon the tight end room this year, which is obviously is going to be led by Pat Freiermuth. They're going to have to replace Nick Bowers. And I think one of the hidden keys this year to the Penn State team is how quickly and how well a second tight end can contribute to the offense. I think James Franklin wants to use the two tight end set I think he thinks it's effective. I also think he believes that it really causes problems for defenses how to kind of approach that. Because if you have a defense, a tight end that can do both things, block and run, and catch the ball, get down the field, it really makes for a matchup problem. Obviously, Freiermuth is one of the top tight ends in the country. Tyler talked about getting him to the next level and to prepare like he's going to be the best tight end in the country. He got snubbed for the Mackey Award last year, wasn't even nominated in the final eight. But really, I think when you talk about Penn State's tight end group, he's kind of a known quantity, Jim and Andy. It's who's going to be the second tight end. And to me, a couple things come into play. Is Zach Kuntz ready to be more of a complete tight end? He's up to 254 pounds on a 6'7 frame. Brenton Strange, who was redshirted last year, his only catch was a touchdown, but he stayed under the 4-game limit. He's up to about 244 pounds. They're obviously the prime contenders. And I think, you know, depending on how the rest of this year shakes out with a return to football, you know, Theo Johnson was going to be a little bit of a project when healthy, Jim. But James Franklin had said last week that he wouldn't have been able to really participate in spring because of a shoulder injury suffered in the Under Armour game. He's got three good tight ends. He's got three talented tight ends. But the question is, does he have a second tight end to pair with Pat Freiermuth? I think getting that second tight end on the field and playing quality reps is going to be a big key for a new-look offense. And I'll be fascinated to see which of the three tight ends emerges. I think he's not really sure who it's going to be either.
Okay, real quick, I'll put you on the spot. Brenton Strange or Zach Kuntz, who will be number two?
Ooh. Hey, Shay, go ahead.
So I think Zach Kuntz is the more interesting option as the second tight end. I think if I had to bet on it, I'm thinking Brenton Strange, because the way Tyler talked about how he had to learn that who, what, how, and why. You remember that conversation, Bob, that he was saying about how he coaches? It gave you a little insight into how he coaches at the macro level. And he said that he's seeing this development in the last piece of it, which is the why, which is the big picture of the offense from the tight end position that Brenton would be playing, that he saw a tremendous amount of development in that. He was understanding what other receivers were doing and the routes and what other guys were doing on the field. And he talked about that. And if you've already got the who, what, and how, it's the why that was the missing piece. And it sounded to me like that why had come together with all the other ones, and that it felt like to me that he was saying, like, this guy has everything that I'm looking for right now as we're moving forward. And I'm like, I would put my money on Brenton Strange.
Yeah, I would just add, Jimmy, real quick, that Kirk Ciarrocca is no fool. If he doesn't feel like there's a second tight end capable of contributing significant snaps, you might see one of them in short yardage, maybe. But I think that if he feels better, like Ross Tucker has said in previous podcasts, if he feels a lot better about spreading the field and going three wide, and that very well may be the case, I just think he's going to lean on Pat, and hopefully he'll stay healthy until one of these two tight ends, you know, gains his confidence. I think Kirk will not, he's going to play to his strengths, and I think you'll see that when football resumes.
And I just look at it like Brenton Strange might be the better all-around tight end, but I'm dying to see that guy who's 6'7 and a state champion in the hurdles. I just want to see him on the field. All right, next up, Andy, I wanted to get your take on this. Brent Pry talked quite a bit about using Micah Parsons in more creative ways. I know you've been a big Micah guy since high school. How do you react to that? Those comments?
So I think the Cotton Bowl, first of all, it was interesting to listen to Brent talk about it. And when he said the other side of the line of scrimmage, he was not talking about Micah playing offense. Let's just get that clear. I don't think that's not in James Franklin's wheelhouse. I mean, I think Micah has been like begging on his knees saying, please let me play offense. Please let me play offense. And James is like, I don't think so, Osborne. But in terms of, so what he was talking about is moving him around, blitzing him in different ways, you know, taking the middle linebacker that he sort of, you know, developed and became last year, and then what you saw in the Cotton Bowl, and making that the launching point for when football comes back. this is sort of what you can expect from me to ask Micah to do. And I'm pretty sure that Micah can do it. I mean, the crazy part of it is, if you think about it, and watching this kid since he was in ninth grade play high school football and the way he developed, if you think about it, as a true freshman, he had half a season in a timeshare with Coa Farmer as a linebacker at Penn State. And it was the first time he'd ever played the linebacker position. So 2019 was his first full season as a full-time linebacker, playing all the time in many different situations, in all situations. And he was on All-American. What else do you need to know? There is another level. You think, oh my gosh, he's already an All-American. I'm telling you, from watching him develop through high school and seeing the way he's done it in college, there is another level. And it is, the starting point for that is what you saw in the Cotton Bowl, and that's the launching point for it. That's all I'm going to say. And I think Brett knows that he's got a full bloom flower that he can do whatever the heck he wants with. And this kid can do it.
Yeah. And I think as fans, we all saw that Cotton Bowl, and we want that to be the expectation level for, from him for the whole season coming up. Bob, I wanted to ask you about one other thing. This has been a topic for several days now, and I know, you know, I've talked to Dustin and Greg about it earlier in the week, and that was Kirk Herbstreit's comments about there, in his mind, there won't be a college football season. I just wanted to get your reaction to that comment.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly possible. There's a lot of money at stake. I think health risk triumphs over everything. I think that is definitely a possibility. I expect the colleges to do everything to try and prevent that. There might be a middle ground where the season is either shortened or moved back, but for me to see a complete loss of an entire season, to me, I would lean a little bit the other way. But you know, it's going to be determined, I think, in the next 6 to 8 weeks, as far as where we are health wise as a country. I don't think that is necessarily on the table now, but we may have no choice.
Well, you know, my take on it is, again, there's a lot of money at stake, but watch what happens with Major League Baseball and NFL football. If you recall the NCAA tournament, they were getting ready to play that with empty arenas, until the NBA announced that they were postponing, suspending their season, however you want to put it. And the NCAA was real quick, you know, to change courses, and they followed the lead. I suspect that's going to be the same thing. So if you start to see Major League Baseball and NFL football, I get the feeling you'll then see NCAA football. And all of us are keeping our fingers crossed for that. All right, stick around. Next segment, quarter two, it's Tucker's Tape, and we're going to talk some more about the 2020 commits.
The sports world has been put on hold, including the blue-white spring game. This is as disappointing at GoPSURV.com as it is to all of you. If you made GoPSURV reservations for the spring game, contact Mark at 800-519-8467. And for those who've entered the free RV raffle through the KSN app, GoPSURV has announced that they will offer an RV for their first regular season game. If you've already entered, your entry will go towards that raffle. We look forward to seeing you in the fall.
So, what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma, or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.